Good morning and good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Adani Green Energy and Barclays Bank, we would like to welcome all the participants to this call. On behalf of Barclays Bank, we are pleased to host the H1 FY24 earnings conference call for Adani Green Energy Limited. I would now like to hand over to Mr. Viral Rawal, who is the Head Investor Relations at Adani Green Energy, who will subsequently introduce the company management and also highlight the flow of the said investor call. Over to you, Viral. Thank you.
Thank you, Banu. Good afternoon, friends, and thank you again for joining us today to discuss Adani Green Energy's H1 FY24 results and updates. I hope you would have had the time to go through the earnings presentation that we've uploaded on our website. So along with me, we have Mr. Amit Singh, who's the CEO of Adani Green, Mr. Phunsuk Wangyal, the CFO, Mr. Rajkumar Jain, the Head of Business Development, and we also have Anupam Mishra, he's the Head of Corporate Finance at the Adani Group. So in terms of the flow of the call, I will request Amit to basically give a brief on basically business strategy and operational performance, followed by a brief by Phunsuk on the financial performance and the update on capital management program. And there we'll have Q&A. So without wasting any further time, I would request Amit to give his opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Viral. Good afternoon, friends. I'm glad you could join us. Let me just maybe reflect a little bit on the macro environment we're operating in. As you know, India has chartered a goal of 500 gigawatt by 2030, and India is aggressively also, getting tendering 50 gigawatt per year. So a lot of activity in this space, and we believe a very coordinated policy action in this direction will be needed, along with wider industry effort, building capacity and supply chain to deliver on this program. In line with this and India's decarbonization goal, we remain very committed to deliver in excess of 45 gigawatt by 2030. That has been our stated goal, and I want to reiterate that stays our plan. In AGL, we continue to be the largest operating portfolio with 8.4 gigawatt install base, and we continue to ramp up our execution capabilities as we prepare for the next phase of growth, where we will need much faster execution speed and much faster delivery timelines to meet our targets I just mentioned. Our project in Khavda is the flagship project which we are operating on, and there are some of the key milestones we will share later today. And it remains as a place where we will put the full breadth of our technology and approach into action. As we drive this next wave of growth, five focus areas are key for me to share with you. The very first one is development of affordable renewable energy with storage solutions to enable better integration with the grid. This will become critical as we go, and that affordability and combining it with the solution of storage will be our go-to-market approach going forward. Capitalizing on project execution expertise at an increasing scale backed by advanced resource planning and fully integrated project management is key to deliver on these large-scale projects in a quick fashion. This has to be underpinned by development of human capital and expanding local content and supply chain, which will both bring resilience and lower our unit cost of activity. We need to drive accelerated digitalization around the whole value system and bring automation in execution as well to drive improvement in efficiency and further cost reductions. And lastly, this has to be underpinned by optimization of finance costs, which we need to do by managing the duration risk with a diversified global finance pool as well. So moving on and giving you a bit of an update on the operational performance, let me just maybe reflect on H1 financial year 24 performance. The sale of energy has increased by 78% year on year to 11,760 million units as a result of very strong capacity addition and improved CUF across solar, wind, and hybrid portfolios. The solar portfolio CUF has improved by 90 basis points year-on-year to 25.2% in H1 FY24, with improved plant availability and improved solar radiation. The wind portfolio CUF has improved by 360 basis points year-on-year to 40.2% in H1 financial year 24, with consistent wind speed and also significant improvement in grid availability compared to last year. The solar wind hybrid portfolio CUF has improved by 880 basis points to 45.4% in H1 of financial year 24, which is backed by technologically advanced solar modules, horizontal single-axis trackers, and wind turbine generations, which have remained very high with high plant availability and grid availability as well. So overall, a fantastic performance for which I would like to thank the team and the management team here present with me for putting in their best. Let me hand over now to Phunsuk to take you further with financial performance and ESG updates as well. Phunsuk.
Yeah, thank you, Amit. Just coming to the financial performance for H1 FY24, I'm pleased to inform that we continue to deliver strong performance across various financial metrics with a reduction in leverage levels. Just to share a quick performance snapshot, revenue from power supply increased by 66% year-on-year to INR 4029 crore. Correspondingly, EBITDA from the power supply increased by 58% to INR 3775 crore with an industry-leading EBITDA margin of 92.2%. Just as a point of reference, for H1 FY23, EBITDA margin was 91.7%. Cash profit during this half yearly has increased by 63% to INR 2082 crore. Now, all these leads to, if you look at from a run rate EBITDA perspective, run rate EBITDA today, as on September end, stands at a very strong level of INR 7645 crore with net debt to run rate EBITDA at 4.99. And if you compare this to last year it was, at this point of time, it was 5.9. And many of you knows that when that Holdco bond was issued, the covenant which was agreed was 7.5. As Amit mentioned during his opening remark, we continue to remain focused on optimizing our finance costs as well as managing duration, interest, as well as currency risk across the portfolio. And in that endeavor, we have a diversified finance pool and continue to work with multiple institutions, whether domestic or international bank. Now, this is getting reflected in terms of financing which we have secured for our under-construction project for this financial year. As you know, we will be commissioning 2.8 to 3 gigawatt in this financial year. Apart from the fact that during the course of this half year, for some of our operational project, we managed to comfortably do refi at a very comfortable, very attractive financing cost. Secondly, purely from various covenants which we have agreed either on our public issuance market or as well as commercial loan market, we are right now meeting all the debt covenants. Ratings are reaffirmed, and 96% of our credit facility is rated in the bucket of A to AAA India equivalent rating scale, which we are talking about. So purely from a financial metrics perspective, very comfortable position. In terms of our relationship with external stakeholder, as you know, recently our board approved expanding of our relationship with Total for additional 1050 megawatt, which includes 300 megawatt of operational project and 750 megawatt of under and near construction asset. Now, diligence process under that deal is currently underway, but the deal is on track, and as and when it gets concluded, in line with regulatory requirement, we will be approaching shareholder for the approval. Now, this deal reaffirms our very good relationship which we enjoy with Total, but also it expands the ambit actually from a purely operational portfolio to a substantial minority at a LISCO level to a JVA where there is a pool of asset with under construction and near construction risk. Now, coming on the ESG side, while delivering excellent result as far as H1 is concerned, we have made similar progress on our ESG commitment. Amit was talking about our large capacity which is coming in Khavda actually, and we're pleased to inform that right now at Khavda we have deployed a workforce of more than 5,000 people and most of which are local hired talent. And since we look at that place is far away from habitation and all, so it is very imperative that we need to upskill those local talent so that they are able to meaningfully contribute to our capacity growth like a phase. And we believe that those type of endeavor, we will continue to expand. As far as, and all this is getting reflected in terms of the governance standard reaffirmation which we are receiving. And we are pleased to inform that recently MSCI in their latest ESG rating update has upgraded AGL's corporate governance score to 7.4. This is the highest scoring range relative to global peer, and where we are very proud of our achievements as a part of this assessment. Now, overall, as I said, okay, we have a very good operational performance, financial matrices commensurate with it, leverage levels are reducing, and ESG is something where our continued focus continue to remain. Now, with this, I would like to end my comments and then request that we can open the line for question and answer. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your headset's fully plugged in and unmuted locally. Those of us joining us online can submit written text questions to the top right corner of your screen. Our first question today comes from Imtiaz Shafudin from Barclays. Imtiaz, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, management, for the opportunity. I have two questions coming from a credit investor. For your two US dollar bonds, you have between 9 and 12 months before maturity to present a refinancing plan. I believe the earliest deadline is 8th of December. Can you just provide some clarity on the Adani Holdco 2435 plan and also on the RG bond 24? Some reports have you placing some $750 million into an escrow account. Can you clarify on that point, please?
Yeah, sure, Imtiaz. So as far as $750 million Holdco bond is concerned, as we have indicated in the past, $750 million Holdco bond will be repaid on its statutory maturity. That is September 24. So from that perspective, that is absolutely clear. As we have indicated, liquidity pool has been created at the promoter level, which will be tapped into paid out the Holdco bond. Now from that perspective, you are right. Actually, by December beginning, under Holdco bond issuance, we are required to come back with a refinancing plan actually. And that we will be formally submitting. That refinance plan will be broadly in line with what we have indicated right now. That's from a Holdco bond perspective, actually. As far as RG1 is concerned, RG1 is an instrument which is basically for operating assets. You would have seen the numbers, actually. RG1 portfolio is doing exceptionally well. Rating has also been reaffirmed upon. Portfolio also from a CEF perspective is now consistently improving. So from that front, we are absolutely clear that RG1 bonds will be refied through a long tenor USD PPP instrument, for which our discussions are currently in a very, very advanced stage, actually. And as a part of our refinancing timeline under the document requirement, we will be formally submitting it. Now, as far as Newswire report is concerned, I think I will refrain from commenting on it.
Thanks, Mansoor. If I can just have the second question on just some clarity on the recent report of NAFRA inquiry into your auditor, SR Bartley Boy. I know you had put out a statement immediately after the news broke out, but have there been any further updates or have there been any approaches by, by NAFRA or on the alert inquiry?
No, actually, we have not been approached by NAFRA, actually. And frankly speaking, this is a matter between relevant accounting firm and the regulator for the audit bodies, actually. And AGL or any of the listed company is not involved in it. But we just want to reiterate that as far as Adani Group is concerned, actually, we have always conducted our business in line with applicable law, regulation, fully in compliance with accounting standards, practices, and all. And we are very confident that this alleged investigation, actually, for which we are not privy to it, will reconfirm our adherence to the applicable law, regulation, and standard.
Thank you, Pung Sir. Very clear. Yeah,
thank you
very much.
Yeah. The next question comes from Love Sharma from JP Morgan. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions from me. First one would be if you could just highlight how much of the CAPEX is pending on the under construction projects, close to about 12 gigawatt which you currently have on the pipeline. And secondly, what kind of debt is currently sitting in those assets under construction? Those two questions for me to start. Thanks.
Yeah, Love, actually, I think just to clarify, when we disclose under construction assets, actually, the way it is presented is basically it pertains to those projects where PPAs are in place or where construction has started. Now, from our implementation perspective, as we have clarified in the past, right now, within this financial year, we will be implementing 2.8 to 3 gigawatt actually. So any incremental debt which will be added will be pertaining to 2.8 to 3 gigawatt only, not for the balance under construction project which is mentioned out there.
Sorry, I didn't get you, Pung. So basically you're saying that the 2.8 gigawatt is the plan, is what you target to complete this year, which I believe is part of the, again, what you currently have shown as under construction in the slides, correct?
Yeah, sure. So I think I will put it that way, you would have seen, actually, we talked about a lock-in portfolio of, if you go to our slide number, 10 earning presentation, we talk about a lock-in portfolio of 20.43 gigawatt, actually, and out of which right now operational is 8.4 gigawatt. On the top
of it,
actual on-ground construction is going on for 2.8 to 3 gigawatt. Balance is a portfolio which is currently under pipeline, for which there is no debt on as far as those projects are concerned.
Understand. Okay. And then for this 2.8 gigawatt, if you could highlight how much CAPEX is yet to be spent and how much debt currently sits there.
Yeah, sure. So, we have given a guidance that these projects will translate to a CAPEX of nearly 14,000 CR actually, and out of which by September end we have spent around CAPEX of 4,500 CR.
Understood. Okay, so that's the CAPEX spent on these assets. Understood. And on the debt side, how much of debt currently sits in these assets?
Yeah, so debt is something which will come upstream in H2 actually, because as you know, under our capital management plan, what we usually do is we start with LCs actually. LCs to fund major material component. And as far as balance CAPEX are concerned, are funded through cash. Now, if you would have seen our trade credit numbers actually, which basically reflects our outstanding LCs, those are 2,402 CR. If you really want to look at from that perspective, 2,402 CR will be the project, will be the debt which is ascribable to the under construction project. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Just one more question from me, more of a clarification on the cash flow statement for first half. If I see the interest is much lower than the corresponding period last year, the cash interest paid, can I understand why that is the case? Because I would have assumed it should have been higher.
Yeah, absolutely. You may be referring to 1398 CR, no? Cash flow statement.
That's correct.
What has happened is, so for our Emerald 1 and Emerald 2, which is our construction facility actually, during this corresponding period, hedge was rolled over. So when we roll over the hedge instrument actually, there was a gain of nearly 980 CR. From the perspective of reporting, that has been adjusted against that. So that is why you are finding this on the lower side. Mind you, amount still remains at a part of hedge reserve account.
Got it. And this is the 10,000 odd crore facility, correct, which is for the hybrid projects?
Absolutely. That's why if you would have seen our cash and cash equivalent actually, you would see that that has gone up from 5,600 to nearly 7,700 in last 6 months.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it from me.
The next question comes from Prapti Gupta from AllianceBernstein. Prapti, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a few questions. On your growth plans and your 2H, you just mentioned about debt coming up in the second half. Can we understand what's the progress on the discussions? Are the lines already committed and undrawn, or this is still work in progress?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So it is still undrawn, actually, but line is already committed, because if you recollect, actually, what we have indicated is this will be financed through a combination of domestic and our under-construction facility. Domestic facility, fully documentation completed. It's a matter of now CP compliance is to be done. As far as our under framework agreement facility is concerned, it has already been secured, actually. Documentation is currently underway. So in nutshell, it's fully committed. Fully committed, undrawn.
Understood. And maybe understand the terms. What is the tenor looking like for these? Are these project life cycle, project-based long-term financing, or this is short-term, which can then be converted into a more long-term bond or another loan?
So domestic market is basically a classic long tenor financing, which you see in Indian market, long-term amortizing, and with interest rate, which is linked to certain benchmark, actually. As far as our framework agreement facility is concerned, this is similar to what we have in Emerald 1 and Emerald 2, which is debt sizing is being done on a long-term amortizing structure. But these instruments are basically of hard mini-perm nature, actually. So within 4 years, that needs to be taken out through a long-term bond instrument.
Is that 4 years? Okay. And what is the split that you guys are targeting, 50-50 towards domestic and these facilities? What is the fair assumption?
Split is in line with our capital source right now, actually, where, as you know, between nearly 35% is from domestic market and 65% is from international market, actually. So that split has been maintained as far as our this year under construction commitments are concerned.
Understood. Thank you. Very helpful. Next thing is a follow-up to what Imtiaz asked you. Sorry, I have two more questions. To what Imtiaz checked with you on the ADINIC and ABGRE J24s, just want to make sure that what I heard was right. So for both the bonds, the company is expected to make an announcement on their refinancing plans by the end of this calendar year. Is that understanding correct?
Absolutely, because that is a requirement under the bond deed itself. So we will be making the announcement.
Okay, thanks. And the last question is on your tie-up with Total. Just wanting to understand what are, in terms of if you want to understand how the relations with Total would look like in the coming years, could you shed some light on your discussions with Total on their investments, both on Adani Green and Adani overall group level?
Yeah, so as you know, Total right now has two set of relationship, actually. We have 2353 megawatt, where AGL and Total are 50-50 JV, which is a fully operating portfolio. Apart from that, Total is also a substantial minority investor at a LISCO level, Adani Green, 19.7. Both those relationship will continue going forward. What we have announced is basically expansion of our relationship by bringing in additional 1050 megawatt as a part of 50-50 JV between Total and Adani Green. Only difference compared to our earlier 50-50 JV is this JVA will have, apart from 300 megawatt, 750 megawatt, which is under construction and near development, whereas our earlier 50-50 JVA was completely for our operating portfolio.
Okay, and how will the cost sharing happen? So the debt will also be shared between the two. 50-50, or it's Adani Green who will take the liability on their balance sheet?
So the debt and equity per se are at the SPV level. So they are getting 50% stake of the equity. However, the debt of all the projects will remain at the SPV level.
SPV, okay. Got it. Sure. Thank you. That is very helpful. That was it for me.
We'll now move over to text questions. I will read these as they are written and may include some overlap with covered topics. An anonymous questioner asks, in first half FY24, finance costs paid from the cash flow statement declined substantially compared to first half FY23's. I see the line item includes hedging and derivative gain and loss. What is the cash finance cost excluding hedging and derivative in first half FY24?
Yeah, I think when I look at this, we have responded. This is, I think, similar to what Imtiaz Malika asked, actually. And we clarified that Malika, this is basically net off. Malika, this is net off the rollover hedge gain, Malika, which was made, which was nearly Malika, 982 Malika, CR.
Another anonymous question asks, I'd like to ask about interest expenses. On the income statement, finance cost rose from 25.58 billion rupees from 9.56 billion year on year. What's the reason? Also, from cash flow statement, the interest payment up only 13.8 billion rupees. Can you help explain the difference and how should we think about interest payment by cash?
Yeah, I think this is the same question actually, because finance cost in P&L compared to the interest cost which is given in the cash flow statement, as I said, that is net of 982 CR of hedge gain rollover.
Ambrish Rathi from T. Rowe Price asks, thanks for the comments. Can you please reconcile the 77 billion rupee cash balance as per slide 17 versus 45 billion as in the audited statements?
No, so I think one of the 77 billion cash and cash equivalent is, if you see in the audited statement, that is spread over three different elements actually. It includes cash and cash equivalent. It includes DESRA and various mandatory reserve. It also includes the various mutual fund investment which has been done. If you add all three of them, you will get 77 billion INR of.
As a reminder, that's star by one on your telephone keypad or the text Q&A box provided. Abraham Ayer from Deutsche Bank asks, how would the liquidity reserve created by sponsor Sir Adani G24s bought into the company, will this be seen as increase in stake by Adani Group?
I think what we will say is actually, this is something which will be covered as a part of financing plan actually, because we just mentioned that a liquidity has been created at a sponsor level. So nature and form in which that liquidity will be brought in Adani Green will be as a part of financing plan.
Nothing further in the queue at present, but as a reminder, that's star one or the text Q&A box provided. An anonymous question asks, how much CapEx should we expect for FY24?
Yeah, so I think we have given a CapEx guidance of nearly 14,000 CR. There may be slight moderation in that because of sharp fall in module price, which we have seen. But broader guidance, we still stick with 14,000 CR.
Another anonymous question asks, could you provide guidance, capacity, growth, and CapEx needed for the rest of FY24 and FY25?
Yes. So FY24, as we have indicated, 14,000 CR actually, out of which, CapEx which has been incurred in this first half is nearly 4,500 CR. So that is the balance capacity, that is the balance CapEx which we can expect in the second half of this financial year. Amit, you want to talk about?
Yeah, for next year, for 25 financial year, as I said earlier in my remarks, we are looking to really scale up our capability and capacity to north of 5 gigawatt per year installation. We're still working our numbers up. And we definitely will have some efficiency gains, improvements because of where module prices is and will be next year. So what we will do is we will maybe share some of that details later in the year once we have ascertained that. But definitely we are ramping up, so it will be more than this year, but the numbers we'll share more details later.
An anonymous question asks, what should be normal wind CUF and how should we understand hybrid CUF? Is that simply adding wind and solar capacity? Is there double counting? Also, for the 982 CR hedge gain, is that for the two RG bonds hedge?
Yes. First, taking the CUF question, normal wind CUF is obviously a function of which turbines we are talking. So earlier, the turbine sizes were smaller, and the CUFs, what we are achieving this year, are supposed to be the normal CUF for the portfolio which has been commissioned. Going forward, for the capacities which we are commissioning in Khavda, the expected CUF are expected to range around 37-38%. And in terms of hybrid CUF, hybrid, when we say as a capacity, so when we say 2140 megawatt hybrid and we give the CUF, that's a combined CUF of wind and solar put up against that capacity. Now, within that 2140, the combination of, there are four projects and combination for of wind and CUF in each of those are different. So it finally depends on what kind of configuration of wind and solar put together is there in each such project. But broadly, yes, the CUF of a hybrid project is wind and solar put together, and there may be some overlap. That overlap is not fed into the grid. Otherwise, it's a total.
That breakup is provided in the project list that we give for every hybrid project. What is the solar component and what is the wind component?
We have an anonymous text question that asks, what is the plan for QIP and is FY25 growth uptick contingent on QIP? How much CapEx can be funded with organic cash flows?
QIP, we have, we have received the shareholder approval for up to $1.5 billion USD and we received the shareholder approval in September 23 actually. So, under the regulation, we have time till 12 months to complete our QIP process. QIP process is right now under work in progress, actually. I can say it. Now, secondly, from FY25 growth uptake contingent upon QIP, what I can definitely say is right now we have 8.4 gigawatt of operational portfolio. And we indicated that by the end of this financial year, we will be adding additional 3 gigawatt. So we are talking about 11.4 gigawatt by the end of this financial year. We are fairly confident that our FY25 growth capex actually can be easily funded by internal accruals, which will be generated from 11.4 gigawatt. On the top of it, total deal anyway has been announced upon actually. And that entire $300 million USD, as and when that deal gets consummated upon, will also be available.
An anonymous question asks, can you comment on the financing plan for the 10,466 CR construction facility in FY25? And second question, what's the current domestic interest rate for long-term project loans?
Yeah, so for, I think, construction facility FY25, which is basically March 25, which we are talking about, we are evaluating multiple avenues, actually, frankly speaking. Domestic market remains a very, very attractive avenue because what we have noticed is there is a significant appetite for projects with long-term contracted cash flow, which is what Adani Green portfolio per se offers. Secondly, our domestic capital market is something which is also there. But yes, domestic capital market is not liquid beyond a certain maturity, actually. So that element is there. On the top of it, then overseas bond issuance is similar to what we talked about RG1, actually, is also an avenue which is being evaluated upon. Now, in terms of pricing, Malaga, which you are Malaga, talking about, now, domestic project loan is right now for, let's say, for under construction project, actually. Under construction project, you can get a 20-year facility at an interest rate between 9.2 to 9.3. For operational portfolio, yes, Malaga, to that extent, actually, credit spread will Malaga, come down. So these are the levels which are currently being Malaga, seen and at which Malaga, we have recently raised financing also.
An anonymous questioner asked for clarification. What does the 982 CR hedging gain come from? Is that from the two USD RG bonds?
No, this is not from Malaga, USD RG bonds, actually. This is basically our Emerald Construction Malaga, facility, 1.3 billion USD. This is where Malaga, our hedge limits were getting rolled over in the month of Malaga, September. And while doing the rollover, actually, there were mark-to-market gain of 982 CR. Malaga. Now, that for the purpose of reporting has been netted off, and that is why Malaga, you were seeing that 1398 CR interest cost in cash flow Malaga, statement. As I Malaga, clarified, 982 CR remains as a part of hedge reserve within the trust account of Emerald Facility itself.
Bharat Chettigar from Standard Chartered asks, will the total JV be consolidated in Adani Green balance sheet? Also, how much equity is total infusing in the JV?
Yeah, yes, actually. Okay, similar to the construct which we have right now for our 2353 megawatt. So this new relationship with Total will also get consolidated because operating control still remains with Adani Green, actually. Now, from an equity perspective, as my colleague Raj clarified, equity will be completely on a 50-50 Malaga basis.
Just to add, so for the constructed asset, so there is a 300 megawatt constructed asset, and there are 750 megawatt of new assets which are to be constructed. So the initial $300 million is for the constructed asset 50% equity plus the premium for the future projects. However, Total would be contributing dollar to dollar alongside us for the 750 megawatt construction equity. So I think that clarifies it.
Nothing further in the queue at present, but as a final reminder, that's star one on your telephone keypad or the Q&A text box provided. As we have no further questions, I'll hand the call back to the management team for any concluding remarks.
Well, thank you. I think there's a question.
Yeah.
There's a last question. I think maybe you want to read it.
We do have a last-minute text question. Eric Liu from Nomura asks, regarding the enlarged revolving construction framework facility of 3.04 billion USD, how many has been drawn so far?
No, it's not being drawn, actually.
1.64.
Yeah, 1.64 is basically has been drawn. The balance is undrawn, which will be Malaga, drawn during this Malaga, a part of which will be drawn in this Malaga, half year itself.
And a final anonymous question. Can you please repeat how much debt will be incurred in 2H for under construction projects?
Yeah, so I think, as we said, our projects are getting funded at Senfi 25, and our capex is Malaga, 14,000 CR actually. So 75% of that will be a debt. But as I said, Malaga, out of which we have this outstanding trade credit of 2,402 CR, so that needs to be Malaga, netted off. Malaga.
We have no further questions, so I'll hand the call back to the management team.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. I think before we close the call, let me reiterate that at AGL, we really understand the importance, the role we play to mitigate climate change risks. We firmly believe that apart from delivering returns to our stakeholders, it is our moral imperative to build a cleaner planet for our future generations. And the way we plan to do that is by bringing affordable renewable energy online with storage solutions, capitalizing on project execution experience we have put together, developing a human capital pool while expanding local content and supply chain, accelerating digitalization and automation throughout the value chain, while optimizing our finance cost as well. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for the call, and all the best. Thank you.